Welcome to the Inside Look at Legal podcast, a podcast by lawyers and experienced litigators, bringing you an inside look at today's legal practices. Hosted by Keith Miller, Butler, Schneider, and Pollack. Learn more about the firm at www.arkattorneys.com. And now, let's begin today's Inside Look at Legal.
Good morning. This is Inside Look at Legal. My name is Caroline Currier, and I'm here with Luke Campbell from Edward Jones today. And we are talking about all things senior. Today, Luke and I had talked about discussing investment strategies and what that looked like. So we talked about maybe how that investment strategy changes over time. So we're doing a two-part series, and this would be part one. And really, I think in this series, or this part one, we will cover, I guess, Luke, you want to step in on this, ages.
Yeah, this is right when right out of college, 25 to about 67 is the time frame to prepare for retirement. So, but really this 25 to 60, because by time 60, you really should have a plan in place. So That's really the time, that's the years we're looking at.
Okay, so we're going to talk about investment strategies for anybody that's, you know, just out of college all the way up to that retirement age. Mm-hmm. And then part two, we'll be talking about living in retirement and how that strategy sort of, you know, changes during that phase of life. So Luke, if you want to take it away.
Yeah, so I'm very passionate about preparing for retirement. I wish someone, when I graduated college, I was a finance undergrad, so you would think that I would have been very smart about my personal finances, but I was mainly more worried about making money and doing things like that. And when I started making money, I really didn't consider saving for retirement as a big thing when I was 26, 27. Mm-hmm. And now my older self telling my younger self, you know, when I work with clients now that have that discipline at 25 years old to, no matter what it is, even if it's $50 a month or maxing out their 401k, if you start that discipline at 25, it's just creating a good habit, and it'll follow you for the rest of your life. And then by the time you're 60 and you pay yourself all those years, you're paying yourself not to work later in life. Yeah. You see a huge benefit. It's just hard to, though, when you're 25 or 26 to understand that, because you think retirement is far away, and it is. But so my job and my one thing that I'm very passionate about is working with younger couples or younger clients and getting them excited about paying themselves for retirement.
Yeah. Yep, and that would be me. You know, I'm getting married in May, and my fiance and I are working with Luke and trying to get everything in order and really just map out what that looks like. And retirement's a big thing for me because I've been in school, right? So I went through law school, and I'm trying to catch up to where, you know, my fiance, who's been in the workforce for several years, is. So retirement's a big conversation at my house, at least right now, is we're far away from it, but the earlier you plan, I feel like the less you really have to do later in life to get there, because that money just grows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's you're a great example. There's not a one size fits all strategy. It is a very personalized strategy for everyone, because everyone, when they start working, their situation is different. They may be getting married. They may already have kids. They make a lot. They may be a high income earner already. They may have a lot of school debt from med school, law school, whatever. And so my job is to really understand what's important to the client, understand their goals, and then create more of a personalized strategy for them, instead of just saying, I think you need to save $5,000 a year and just do that till I tell you not to.
Right. Yep. Which would also be helpful to know how much I really do need to save. But at the same time, having that advice, having an investment strategy, right? So what types of things, when people are looking at investing during this time of their life, you know, other than retirement, what does that just overall investment strategy look like, right?
Right. It does depend on someone's risk tolerance. Some people can handle more risk, meaning their account's going to fluctuate more. So if you're a high risk tolerance, you're going to own more individual stocks or mutual funds that have a little bit more growth focus. And when you have that, there'll be years that you do well and you make 30%, and then there'll be some years that it's down 20%. But if when you're younger and you're just contributing and retirement is 40 years away, the main goal and what I try to stress to my clients that are just starting out is to try not to focus so much on your portfolio value, because mm-hmm. over time, the stock market's very unpredictable today. Like, I don't know what it's going to do today. I have zero crystal ball. And I have no idea about that.
I thought that's what a financial advisor was.
Yeah,
right?
I know. My crystal ball, when I got my license, they don't issue those anymore. So we can look at it in 10-year chunks. And
right.
If you look at it in a 10-year period, it's pretty predictable. So mm-hmm. The main goal is to not necessarily worry about your portfolio value, and it's more about consistently contributing. And just, it's all about contributions. And if you can consistently contribute over time, then you will have a much greater success of having more money in retirement. And my job is to make sure my clients understand that. And instead of me throwing out this big number, I want them, even if it is $100 a month, if they consistently do that, then it is greatly going to benefit them, instead of me saying, I think you should do $600 a month, but you really maybe can't afford that. So maybe you do it once mm-hmm. or twice, and then you have to stop it because you have other things. So, but it's really just about consistently contributing, probably for the first 15, 20 years of your working life. And then yeah. as you get into your 40s and 50s, those strategies start changing a little bit more.
Yeah. I like that. I think I'm working on a catchphrase for you, because we have the consistent contributions. I like mm-hmm. that. But consistency is key. I think that's something I've learned too. Just it's my mm-hmm. New Year's, one of my New Year's resolutions yeah. is just to be more consistent in general.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's great. My dad, he's going to love that he got a shout out on the podcast this morning, but he always talks about the time value of money.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really understand it, but it makes so much sense to him. And that might be a whole other podcast, mm-hmm. but he's like, the time value of money, like money now is worth more later.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense. It's like, you know, putting those dollars into your retirement account.
Mm-hmm.
And this could just be a weird way of saying exactly what you just said, mm-hmm. right? But putting those dollars in your retirement account now, they're worth more, not only because they're growing, because they're being invested, but just, I guess the dollar today is worth more than the dollar.
Yeah.
Later.
Yeah. So inflation
yeah.
and things that, so, and people that, and if you just, the time value of money, yes, it's a big conversation, but he is exactly right. And it's amazing that he's passionate about it, because very few people are, but it is very important. And you think about, if you just put $20 in a savings account monthly, that is going to grow less than half of 1% a year.
Right.
Well, it is, that dollar value is going to not keep up with inflation. So that time value of money is not going to be there, and it's going to continue to decrease over time. Your purchasing power is not going to increase. But if you invest it wisely, you can exceed inflation,
mm-hmm.
and that time value of money will be greater, because the money you're putting to work today is going to be worth more later in life, just because it has so much time to sit there and continue to grow and make hopefully more than inflation, which is around 3%.
Right. Okay. Yeah. One thing, so my clients will generally ask me a couple things. So a lot of times I'm doing estate planning, right, for clients that are in this phase of life. Maybe
mm-hmm.
they just had their first kid, and that's the reason that they're coming to see me. Or maybe their parent just passed away, right? Mm-hmm. And they're like, okay, I really want to get this in order, because my mom left me a huge mess, and mm-hmm. I want to get my paperwork done so my kids don't have to do this. They will ask me about life insurance and long-term care insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, because I can preach about how important long-term care insurance is,
mm-hmm.
but life insurance, I am not qualified at all to give advice on
yeah.
that. But that's probably this age group, right?
Mm-hmm.
People.
Yeah. No, life insurance is very important. A lot of people think that, well, I have life insurance. So my clients will say, I have life insurance through my work.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times you'll get that 1.5 times your annual salary or something like that. And what I try to explain to clients, and what's important to have an outside insurance policy,
mm-hmm.
is your life insurance policy. Yes, it is cheap through your employer, because your employer is covering, that insurance company is going to pay, let's say you make $50,000, you may have a $100,000 life insurance policy right. while you work there. Mm-hmm. But when you're 25, 26, even 30, 35 years old, you are still relatively healthy. You're as healthy as you're almost ever going to be. The older you get, things happen. And life right. insurance companies certainly think you're getting closer to your life expectancy. So
sure.
if you can leverage your 25-year-old health mm-hmm. into a, because you got to go through underwriting, and that underwriting right. is based on, largely just based on your age and your health. And mm-hmm. if you can leverage that at 25 to 26, 27, you can get a nice term life insurance policy for very affordable, and you're going to get a lot more coverage, $500,000, $750,000, $1 million worth of coverage mm-hmm. that if you try to get that at 50 years old would cost you 3 or 4 times more. Because I see it happen over and over where clients are like, yeah, I have this great life insurance policy. Well, through work, and let's just say you work there till you're 45 years old and mm-hmm. then you get laid off.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, now your life insurance policy goes away with your job.
Mm-hmm.
And now you want to start your own business because you're tired of corporate America, or you want to do something else.
Right.
Well, now you don't have life insurance, and you have probably a 15-year-old, an 18-year-old.
Right.
And you still have a spouse that, and you have debt. So you're sitting there and it's very risky at 45, 40, and then to go get that life insurance then can be expensive. So I just try to, as easy as I can, to explain to clients to say, let's think about it now. Even people that are not married, let's get life insurance for your future family.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be very cheap.
That's a really good point. Mm-hmm. Planning for the future fam.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So life insurance, check. That's important. And I've heard that too with the premiums. And then long-term care insurance is a little bit similar in that regard, right? Mm-hmm. The earlier you get it, the better.
Right.
But it's just, it's not relevant to to people in their
right.
30s right now. You know, but as you get older, then you mm-hmm. realize, oh my gosh, I don't want what's happening to my parents to happen to me.
Yeah.
I want to get this long-term care insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times people just wait until it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, long-term care insurance has come a long way. So the good news, back in the day, it had a really bad reputation because the premiums would increase almost
right.
every year. The insurance company would come back and say, to keep this in force, you need to pay another $1,000 above your other premiums. And so but now through regulations and just better product offerings, long-term care insurance now is better, and it's much more simple.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times it's tied to a death benefit. So where there's many products out there, and it's depends on everybody's situation, but you can typically get long-term care insurance where you pay a portion of money, let's say $100,000, and you will have a guaranteed death benefit, so you're not going to lose your $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
So that's over here, but you're getting extra money for long-term care. So let's say it's home health, it could be hospice, it could be a skilled nursing
mm-hmm.
facility. It could be simply, I have a lot of clients that live with their kids.
Right.
And that will pay, you can actually, through long-term care insurance products, you can pay your kids.
As their caregiver.
Because as the caregiver. Yeah. So it doesn't have to be a skilled nursing facility in some of these products. So it's a good thing now because the money you put there is going to be either your beneficiaries are going to get it because you mm-hmm. never needed it for long-term care and they get it in a death benefit, or you used it for long-term care. And so it is just a conversation that when it is impossible to get a 28-year-old excited about long-term care,
yeah,
and it's probably not even appropriate. But when you're in your late 40s, mid to late 40s, and it is usually an event of your parents go through a long-term care event, and
right.
you see how expensive it is, and you see how fast money can just go down to $10,000 a month or more.
Right.
And so then it becomes important to you. And hopefully when that, and you're in that, they talk to you or they talk to a financial professional that can talk to them about long-term care insurance, because
yeah.
it can be avoided. And most people even have the money, the assets, because you can use your retirement assets to pay for long-term care. It's not, you don't have to pay it out of your checking account. So.
Right. And that's something too that, you know, it's kind of like life insurance, how you said, there's not really an optimal age. I think life insurance definitely is something that you think about probably more in your 20s mm-hmm. and early 30s than long-term care insurance. But my clients will always say, like, when do I do that? You know, mm-hmm. what is the optimal age? And you kind of hit that where there's not really an optimal age, but it long-term care insurance is not sexy, right? Like right. No mm-hmm. one's getting excited about it. Right. So it's one of those things that until you see something, you know, until you mm-hmm. see your parent go through a healthcare crisis, maybe it's an aunt, whoever, you really start thinking about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's when you're planning your estate and you worked all your life and you really want to do some legacy giving to your family, and you may not have a lot of money, but you have money that could make an impact to your kids or yeah. your grandkids. And to see it go to a nursing home
right.
is sad because it can be avoided. But it takes some conversations and planning. And it can be even in your 60s, you can buy long-term care insurance. Because there's some product long-term care that is not even based on your age. It's just okay. based on money. And you can based on whatever you're... So that's why I said there's various products out there, but they're very nice. They're very good. And it's... based on the conversation with someone, you can always find a very appropriate long-term care policy for someone. But it's just really sad to see someone exhaust $200,000 because of their parents, and then yeah. Medicaid kicks in. And so it's just, but it can be avoided. That's the good news.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think it almost kind of falls between part one and part two, because mm-hmm. if you don't get it in part one, yeah. then your finances look a lot different in part two.
Like yeah.
how
yeah.
you talked about nursing homes, right? Mm-hmm. For 24/7 care, and it's just, I don't want to say it's a millennial thing, but as people get older, I mean, our generations get more and more selfish in that we have our lives, we have mm-hmm. our jobs. We don't want our parents living in our house mm-hmm. and having to do that 24/7 care because A, we're not necessarily qualified to do it.
Right.
And B, it's not safe, right? If you can't leave the house to go to the grocery store and not worry about your mom or dad falling out of bed or yeah. Things like that, it's mm-hmm. they probably need to be in a 24/7 mm-hmm. facility. Those facilities, you know, are costing about $6,000 a month average in Arkansas, a little bit more in Northwest Arkansas than Central Arkansas. But that money, you know, you're burning that quick mm-hmm. over the years. So you can pay what, like, let's say, for example, you might be able to pay $100,000 for one of these, mm-hmm. you know, long-term care insurance policies, mm-hmm. whereas you're going to spend $100,000 in 18 months.
Right.
With the rise of Alzheimer's and dementia, I'm seeing a lot of clients come mm-hmm. in and they're paying, let's say, $6,000 a month for a memory care facility. Mm-hmm. Those are actually probably a little bit more expensive. Mm-hmm. But eventually they're going to spend down everything because it's memory care. It's not necessarily, their parents aren't sick. Mm-hmm. They just can't live alone. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to see like the burn rate
yeah.
of that cash and how it could be avoided with long-term care insurance policy. And even though it is $100,000, right? That's a mm-hmm. lot of money, for right. especially for my seniors.
Right.
But it's a lot less than 3 years in a memory care facility or 18 months in a memory care facility, then we're burning through all the cash and we're just in a nursing care facility because we're out of money.
Yeah.
And we know Medicaid's going to pick up the bill for that.
Mm-hmm.
So a long-term care insurance policy, I think, for my seniors, it just gives them options. That's mm-hmm. why I tell people it's about options and having choices in the kind of care that you get. Because if you're broke but you're not sick, you might have to go into a facility for sick people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I preach long-term care with my seniors who are still, you know, of good health, but mm-hmm. also looking to, you know, people that I'm doing estate plans for that are in their 30s and 40s. Mm-hmm. I just have that conversation with them. And I think it's important,
oh yeah,
you know, for them to know these details that you're talking about today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Shameless plug, so 2020 education, my word of the year. We talked a little bit about insurance policies today. One thing I've seen a lot of, so I had a lot of clients, I don't know if it was the cold or the holidays or what, but I had a lot of clients in the hospital last month.
Right.
And their kids were calling me, mom has this long-term care insurance policy and I've got to pay the premium. Mm-hmm. Otherwise we're in trouble, mm-hmm. right? Because we need that if she's not going home after this, or life insurance policies. So power of attorney is super important for this, because if you're incapacitated and your kids can't, you know, send that, pay that bill, then, you know, that's years and years and years of premiums that's wasted.
Right. No, you're right. It's, you can see it all the time. Unfortunately, heart disease is one of the biggest things that happen. One of the things that even kill more people, that kills more people than anything. But heart disease, let's say you have a heart attack and you have it on a ventilator for 5 days. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have power of attorney while you're sitting in ICU knocked out with a ventilator, your bills are still coming in,
right?
And someone needs to pay those bills. But if you don't have power of attorney, to get access to any of those financials is impossible. And so I see it over and over, where it's so important to have power of attorney for many reasons, but at least it can be, it's just all those things that are very unexpected. No one expects to have a heart attack.
Yeah.
But if you have a heart attack at 58 years old or 50 years old, at least your power of attorney can kick in right away.
Yeah.
And you can, again, worry about getting better. Your family can worry about getting you better and take care of your bills, and everything's fine. Instead of you wake up and you have all these past due bills, you may have an insurance policy that lapsed, and that, you know, and that's just, it's, again, avoidable.
Right. Planning. Yeah, absolutely. I preach power of attorney so much, and people say, well, you know, that's way down the line. Mm-hmm. But I like to plan. I tell my clients, I plan on you living for a really long time, but I want to make this plan. Like, you sign the paperwork, you get in your car, and you're in an accident on the way home, and you're incapacitated, right? Because we all want to live forever. And truthfully, I catch myself saying all the time in meetings, if something happens to you, well, in reality, we're all going at some point.
Yeah.
But the power of attorney really is an if something happens to you, right? It's not a, you know, when you pass away, because it's no longer effective at that point. But if something happens to you, it allows everybody to focus on what's important, like Luke said. Mm-hmm. It'll be taking care of you. And those bills, that makes everybody's life a lot easier. Mm-hmm. So that was just a little shameless plug on the power of attorney.
Yeah, it's a good one.
And I think that's all we have for this age group. Is that right, Luke?
Yep, that's good.
Okay. So we'll move on to part two. This is Inside Luke at Legal. My name was Caroline Currier, and this was Luke Campbell. And you have a good day.
You've been listening to Inside Look at Legal with your hosts, Keith, Miller, Butler, Schneider, and Pollack. Learn more at www.arkattorneys.com.